I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Do you hate hell?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Do you? Do you for real? Because here's the thing. We think of hell as this destination, right? The place we don't want to go. The end, the big end of hell. But we rarely consider its origination, where the Bible tells us it begins. But we sure should, because, and I hate to break it to you, but hell starts in our hearts. I'm going to read you a scripture. It just doesn't make sense unless you understand that. But you know how we know that hell starts in our hearts? Because as Noah showed us last Sunday, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And it was such a good sermon. To say it another way, the tongue spills that which fills the heart. Okay? And the tongue is a fire and is set on fire by hell. And I ask anybody to explain that verse. How is your tongue set on fire by hell? Oh, because it starts in our hearts. Because the tongue speaks what the heart's filled with, and it's set on fire by its source. So the real question is, do you hate hell enough to extinguish it in your heart? Noah talked about the need and the warning to guard your heart, because everything flows from it, and how no good tree bears bad fruit, and how each tree is recognized by its fruit. And he rattled off Paul's list of the 9 fruits of the Spirit, and I want to rattle them off too, so rattle them with me. Here we go. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Back that up one screen if you can. There we go. Okay. I don't want to give the punchline away. But I don't think those are the 9 fruits of the Spirit. I think there is just one fruit of the Spirit, and that is, any guesses?
Love.
Love. Oh, wow. You're paying attention. I think there's just one, love. And I think love is then expressed in 8 ways. Now, there's no punctuation. A lot of you know this. There's no punctuation in any of the original things. So translators are always guessing what punctuation to put in. I don't like that comma that's inserted after love. It's confusing, because I think it should read, the fruit of the Spirit is love, colon. And then the breakdown of the 8 fruits of love. And you know why I think this? Because in the love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul pretty much does this for us, saying, well, love is patient. Oh, there's patience. We just read that one. Love is kind. Well, there's kindness, right? Then he's got this little trio. It does not envy, does not boast, is not proud. Because as we're taught, pride is the roadblock to peace. It is not rude. Well, there's gentleness. It's not self-seeking, not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. And that's full self-control right there. Love does not delight in evil, because it delights in goodness, but rejoices with the truth. There's the joy. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres, which is faithfulness. And when Noah sat down last Sunday after his message, he leaned over and whispered to me, because I guess it was something that hit the cutting room floor for last Sunday's message, but he leaned over and goes, did you know that the fruit of the Spirit lines up with Paul's definition of love in Corinthians? And I whispered back, no, I didn't. And I'm totally stealing that for my next message. Actual conversation. So if he uses it next Sunday, which I think he's planning on doing, pretend you haven't heard it already. It was a great message. And when Noah said God will shake our tree so that we can see the fruit that falls out, whether it's good or bad. Oh my, and then he talked about, because you might be full of patience, but really you don't have peace inside your heart. And there was just this story from less than a week earlier that I knew I was going to have to tell you, as painful as it is, because it's too perfect. And I think God set the whole thing up. This is such a fresh story. This is like a week and a half ago. But it starts months ago when Comcast had to replace the cable coming into our house. And I gave them permission to string a temporary cable in our crawl space. But weeks later, when I had to go under the house, long after they had finished, the so-called temporary cable was still there, and it was strung tightly and directly across the only access door under my house. Oh, so I slithered under it several times with a seemingly justifiable hate in my heart. No question, there was a hate in the heart, but it just seemed like, yep, well, duh, right? Until 2 weeks ago, about maybe a little less, when I had to get something out and I just gave it an angry little yank, like not, you know, you don't want to break anything, but you just want to be angry at it. And it just instantly went slack, like whoop. And I went, uh-oh. And so I pulled, and there's the end. It was severed. And I went in the house and I turned on the TV and it says, no signal. So I call Comcast and I tell the robot lady the problem. To which she very politely says, I'd like to run a 15-minute diagnostic. Will you please wait? And I loudly say, no, no, no. The coax cable, there's not like a button for this one. The coax cable is severed. But she ignores me. Several times. She's like working every way around this barn. She is determined to run that diagnostic. So now I'm yelling into the phone. We've recreated the moment. That's basically me angry. You can always tell by the eyebrows. They're like devil eyebrows. Okay. And I will reenact this for you. This is me, for real, yelling because, see, I guess I thought I had permission because it's not a human, right? So I usually have this much more well hidden. And so... I was going to say under control, but let's just be honest. Okay. It's a little of each. And so this is me. No! No! It really is. I know the problem. I cut the cable. Come fix it. And immediately a human man with a heavy accent says, thank you for putting, thank you for your patience, putting up with the automation. And I think, oh my gosh, I triggered something. This guy got, uh-oh, one of those. And I just instantly feel like God himself showed up and shined his flashlight on me. It's like, I felt so guilty. I saw myself absolutely in the light. What I mean, it's just, oh, I haven't had that feeling for so long of a complete and utter guilt, appropriate guilt and shame. It hadn't been a human, but so much hate had been spilling out of my heart. You ever yell at Alexa? Oh, that bee can get on your nerves. Oh my God. Char gets after me. I don't yell at her, but I say the rudest things. No, that was not helpful. That was the opposite of helpful. You are the least helpful robot I have ever hired. And Char gets mad at me when I'm rude to her. So anyway, back to the call. So now I'm on my best, absolute best, guilt-ridden behavior with this Comcast human because as with all of the fruit of love, patience is a choice. We don't like to tell ourselves this truth, but patience is a choice and a decision. And I gotta say, now, I was now the picture of patience for the 40 most frustrating minutes of either of our lives. It begins when he just wants to confirm that the severed cable has indeed disabled the TV, the internet, and the phone, to which I say, well, not the phone. How do you know? They say, because I'm talking to you on it. To which he says, that is not possible. Oh, we then proceed to go through so many that is not possibles. Building up to, and this guy's, I'm talking this guy down. He's like, check the bedroom TV. I see you have a bedroom TV. Check it. And I say, I run in there, I come back. It's working. He goes, check the main TV again. I run back up. Still no signal. That is not possible. And I'm saying, we're going to get through this. You're going to figure this out, man. I got faith in you. You're going to do it. And so he finally does. He solves it. Turns out the cable under the house was temporary, like I was told. And they put it in the doorway so I could easily get to it to pull it out when they were done. But when they finished, no one was home, so they couldn't go into the house. But it was easily pulled out because they had severed it right outside the foundation when they put the other cable in. Rather than slither under it, all I had to do was pull it. And when I went inside and checked the TV and it said no signal, in hindsight, this is what we found. It had coincidentally, God is behind this whole thing, I'm sure. It had coincidentally been left on the one and only channel that for whatever reason wasn't receiving a signal from my cable box. Which the robot lady would have told me if I had allowed her to run her diagnostic. And all it took to fix it was push the reset. Same went for me. Same went for me when that human came on the phone. Just push the reset. So feeling very sheepish and repentant, I thanked this man profusely. And here's the payoff. And I wrote down his words as soon as we hung up so I could be sure to quote him correctly when Char got home. Because he said, and I quote, and I didn't deserve it, he said, no, sir, I thank you for being my best customer. If I could rate you, I would give you more than perfect. So you will be my role model. God bless you. So all of that is 100% true. Now I just need to be my role model. And I only bring up the heavy accent and all because I just love the thought that maybe somewhere in India, there's a guy that's being nicer and more polite than he usually is, and the family wants to know what's up, and he says, there was this man. He is my role model. But you see, I started off hating all of the wrong things, and I didn't stop hating. What changed and what then totally empowered my patience was the object of my hatred, because I turned my hate toward my sin. And in that moment, I hated my impatience with a passion. Oh, if I could just live in that moment. Just live in that moment where the hatred is focused on the right thing. Noah reminded us that the only choice we have whenever we're shaken is how we choose to respond. So true. Because it's always a choice and a decision. Because as he said, that's its purpose. Because it's our big God-given opportunity to see if we're growing in the love that leads to life, both here and now. And forever after. Or allowing the hell that's hiding in our heart to set our tongue on fire. And we get to see it. And I totally think God set me up so I could see it. And it's really, really easy to tell what our heart is full of, because anyone who loves God for real must also, of course, love their brother and sister, right? Because if the love of the Lord is taking root in our heart, it can't not grow in our life as love for others. Can't not. Therefore, and all the more, you who love the Lord, hate evil. Just hate it. The way you hate cancer. But that's not enough. That's half of it. It's not enough to just hate evil. So we're told in by the prophet Amos, hate evil and love good. Two sides to the same coin. Hate evil, love good. Because, well, I'll tell you why you need to love good. Because God created man in his own image, male and female. He created them. And God saw all that he had made. And it was very what? Love good. Love good. And that's why the Lord spoke to Moses saying, oh, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. But I like this. It's like, but then again, you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, just without that hellish hatred, okay? Lest you incur sin because of him, because of the hell inside of that guy. You, on the other hand, you shall not take vengeance. I don't care what he does. This is like the dad talking to us, right? Our father, literally, speaking to us. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge, no matter what he does. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. He's like, so what I says go. I'm your father, right? So that's why John says, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, well, he is a great big pants on fire liar. And by pants, I mean a tongue. Your pants are on fire. I'm coming up with a whole new saying. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. But then again, David asks, in all sincerity, do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? That seems reasonable. And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? And his surprising conclusion and answer is, yes, I do. But I hate them with perfect hatred. See, and only with that in mind does the next line make sense. Only in this perfect way do I count them my enemies. So search me, O God, and know my heart. Because we're told the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? The Lord. So try me. Oh, test me, shake me. See what fruit falls out. Try me and know my anxieties. Boy, he sure tried me and knows mine. And let's see what falls out of that tree. And if there's any wicked way in me. And if there is, then lead me in the opposite way, in the way everlasting. And so you got to ask, what in the world is this perfect hatred? Some say complete hatred, mature hatred. Well, I'll just let David explain, because he says, consider my enemies, for they hate me with cruel hatred. Okay, it ain't perfect. It's cruel hatred. See, all who hate me, well, they whisper together against me. Oh, that's cruel hatred? And they devise my hurt. Whereas, he says, I hate every false way. I hate the work of those who fall away. Because a righteous man hates lying, not the liar. Which is why he says, I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law, which says you shall not hate your brother in your heart. And about this, Jesus said, now you have heard, you know, from your teachers that it was said, you know, in the scriptures, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And he's got to do an eye roll, I'm sure. He said, but I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And you got to go, well, is Jesus rewriting the Bible? Is he correcting scripture? Is it not perfect? No, no. You heard that it was said. It's not really what it said. He's correcting those who pick and choose from God's word in a wicked way that distorts God's heart. Because they first took Moses' command to love your neighbor, right? But they conveniently left off that part about not hating a brother in your heart. And then they took David's comments about hating his enemies with no mention of his perfect hatred that rightly distinguishes the sin from the sinner, the way we distinguish the cancer from the patient. And they twisted it. They Frankensteined this thing. It's a Frankenstein scripture until it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And they could say, and that's all the Bible. That's the Bible talking, not me. And so Jesus sets it straight and then ends his command to love your enemy with a reminder to be perfect. Be perfect, therefore, in your hatred, as your heavenly Father is perfect in his. But then again, John says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But then again, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. So what's going on? The Father doesn't have the love of the Father in him? Well, it's a love-hate relationship. Because two worlds are clearly defined and referred to in Scripture, and they are worlds apart, and they are the ways of the world and the people of the world. And it makes perfect sense that God hates the world's ways, cancerous as they are, because he so loves the world's people. In fact, John sums up the world's ways this way. For everything in the world, be it the lust of the flesh, the bad stuff we desire to do, the lust of the eyes, the bad stuff we desire to have, or the good stuff but we badly desire to have it, however you want to word that, and the pride of life, boasting of what we have and do, comes not from the Father, but from the way of the world. Which is why there is a time to tear down and a time to build. There is a time to be silent and a time to speak and a time to love and a time to hate. And this one time, oh my goodness, this one time Jesus made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area and scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables because it was high time. But he did it with love for them because he knew that he who hates correction will die and hell and destruction are before the Lord. And how much more? So how much more the hearts of the sons of men? Because you see, a fool's mouth is his destruction. And his lips are the snare of his soul. David said, my soul is among the sons of men who are set on fire. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth, and their inward part is destruction. Which I suppose is why they sharpen their tongues like a serpent. You serpents, said Jesus. How will you escape the sentence of hell? The psalm says, you love evil more than good. Who's it referring to? Who does? It just goes on. Lying rather than speaking righteousness. Who? Who? You. You love all devouring words. You who? You deceitful tongue. Uh-oh. I think we found the trigger. Oh. I think we're supposed to hate that enemy. I think we're supposed to hate that serpent. Because although there is a time to love and a time to hate, there is never a time to let hate infiltrate our heart. But do you hate hell? With all your heart? If so, then let's heal our hearts by hating what God hates, the way God hates, while staying focused on the sin within so we can guard our heart. Because if you truly hate the hellish hate within, well then let all evil speaking be put away from you. That's how you extinguish it. Because see, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it, whether it's the life-giving side or the life-taking, they will eat its fruit. Because after all is said and done, it's an obvious choice and a simple, albeit eternal, decision. And so let's pray, because I need it. Father God, we love you and worship you and therefore choose to hate evil. Holy Spirit, try us, test us, see if there's any hellish hate hiding in our heart and bring it to the surface. Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you and ask you to lead us in the way everlasting. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.